Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 church, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear from God through His Word and His Spirit.
Hey, really pleased that you have joined us this morning as we start our new series looking at Psalm 23. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23 verse by verse for the next 6 weeks. And let me suggest, if you have not memorized this passage of scripture, this passage has been used for graduations, for weddings, for funerals, in all circumstances, in all walks of life. If you haven't already memorized it, why don't you take the time as we work through this series to get it into your brain? We're only going to be looking at one verse a week. So that's all you have to learn, one verse a week, and then at the end of 6 weeks, you will have memorized Psalm 23. At the end of that, Adele is going to come around to your house to check. There will be a test to check that you have learned it. Of course, that's not really going to happen. Psalm 23, I really wanted to do this, stood in a field, surrounded by sheep. That would have been amazing. But there are no fields near me with sheep. So to do that, I would have had to travel to a field, and that does not, I believe, count as an essential journey. So I had to scrap that idea. I had a second idea to make this a little bit more creative, but Ethan refused to wear the sheep costume. So unfortunately, this is what you have to put up with this morning. So Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Some versions say, "I shall not want." Now, I'm not a fan of sticking words into verses, particularly to change the meaning, because it's just not something you do. But I want to help us realize that these two phrases, they may seem separate, but they are actually connected. And so maybe if we use the word therefore, it will help us to see how those two things work together. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. The guy who wrote this, his name was David. You may have heard of him before. He was the guy in the Old Testament who had a fight with a giant called Goliath and won. And then David eventually, through many twists and turns, went on to become the king of Israel. And we believe that he was writing this at a time in his life, reflecting on a previous time in his life. We believe he wrote this while he was king. He wrote those words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Now, if you had the opportunity to go back in time and to sit with a group of Jewish boys and girls, and you said to them, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" It's almost certain none of them would have put their hands up and said, "I want to be a shepherd." It wasn't a job that people aspired to. It was a job that you gave to the youngest member of the family. It was a chore. And so David knew this because at one point in his life, while his brothers were all off in the army fighting enemies and serving the king, he was at home looking after sheep. And he had many experiences while looking after these sheep. And maybe it is that he's reflecting and recounting all of the things that happened while he was looking after the sheep, all of the things that he did to make sure that his sheep were kept safe. Maybe as he was thinking through all of those things, he realized, you know what? God does these things for me. The Lord is my shepherd. He could have said, "The Lord is my king," because he had much experience of being a king, and he could have related some of that to his relationship with God. He could have said, "The Lord is my warrior." David was known to be a mighty warrior. But actually, of all the things he could have said, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Bible refers to us in many different places as sheep, particularly in places like Isaiah, where it says, "We like sheep have gone astray, we've turned to our own ways, we've done what we wanted to do." And if you know anything about sheep, you will know that they are the brightest of creatures. They need a lot of help, they need a lot of maintenance, they need people to care for them, they need people to look after them. And so in many places in the scriptures, we are referred to as sheep. Now, bearing in mind that the shepherd wasn't something that people aspired to, it wasn't a role that people looked forward to being, it is interesting to me that Jesus actually refers to himself as a shepherd. In John chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I grew up in Guyana in South America, a third world country, and one of the things one of the kind of mantras we lived by as we grew up there was, if you can do it yourself and you don't have to pay someone else to do it, then do it yourself. And so one of the things that would happen on a regular basis is my dad would cut my hair. Now, I know you're thinking, what's the big deal with that, Nick? We're in lockdown. Everyone's cutting everyone else's hair to varying degrees of success. And maybe you want to share those photos with us later. But let me finish with this. My dad would cut my hair with a razor blade and a comb. That's it. Okay, we didn't have clippers. We didn't have your fancy clippers that you're using, your special hairdressing clippers. No, a razor blade and a comb. So it was a Saturday morning. My dad was cutting my hair as per usual. And we would chat while this was happening. And at one point he went quiet and I didn't think anything of it. But later on I realized it was also quite warm because I was sweating. And so I wiped some sweat away from my cheek. And as I looked at my hand, it was red. I was bleeding. What had happened is my dad, while cutting my hair with his razor blade and comb, had cut me. And didn't want to say anything, didn't want to alarm me, just carried on, but was quiet. So there's blood dripping down my face while my dad is cutting my hair silently. I told my mum this story, and she laughed because she grew up on a farm. And she said, a part of the thing a farmer would do if they had pigs or if they had sheep, particularly on the farm that she grew up is they would mark the animals in a particular way so that they would know which animals were theirs. She said, maybe your dad was just marking you so that he would know that you were his, because my mum has a twisted sense of humor. And clearly my dad needs to mark me to know that I am his. Interestingly though, Jesus says something similar. He says in John chapter 10, verse 14, he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The first thing I want you to realize this morning is the shepherd knows his sheep. You may feel that you are lost at the moment. It's all a bit crazy in lockdown. You may feel like you're hidden. You may feel like no one really knows what's happening inside of you. But let me tell you this. Jesus, your shepherd, knows. He knows. He knows your disappointments. He knows your hurts. He knows the things you're worried about. He knows what's happening inside of your head. He knows you. You are not hidden or lost. He knows you. I want you to take great comfort from that this morning. The shepherd knows his sheep. Now, the Amplified Version of Psalm 23 verse 1 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, and then it breaks it down in brackets into three things that I'm going to spend the rest of time talking about. It says, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide, and to shield. It identifies three things that a shepherd does for the sheep. The shepherd ensures that they're fed, ensures that they know where they need to go, and he ensures that they are kept safe. So the first thing, the shepherd feeds the sheep. It is the shepherd's responsibility, because the sheep can't do this, the shepherd's responsibility to scout out new pasture lands for them to be able to eat. In ancient times, they would eat the grass in a particular area, and then the shepherd would find them more food to eat somewhere else. So it's a shepherd's job to do that. And we need to remember that the shepherd also feeds us. He feeds us. Jesus, our shepherd, feeds us. There are many instances where I've experienced God being my provider, but it's important to remember these things, because sometimes when times are tough, and sometimes when it seems like we're being ignored, or maybe like we're being forgotten, it's important to remember that the shepherd feeds his sheep. He still cares about us, and he is still able to provide for us. You know, there was a time where when we moved to Warrington where I didn't have a job, Lisa and I, my family, we gave up our jobs and we moved to Warrington to be part of Life Church. And I didn't have a job. I'd applied for jobs and I was waiting to hear. And there was a day where I sat thinking, God, I need to be able to provide for my family. This is not a good place to be in. And I was I was really concerned and really worried about what would happen. I'd been offered a potential part-time job, a temporary job that would last until Christmas, doing some maternity cover, and I was going to take that because I needed a job, obviously. But then in the back of my mind, I was thinking, what happens at Christmas when this woman comes back from maternity and that job is gone? What's going to happen then? What am I going to do then? And so even before I had taken the temporary job, I was already worried about what would happen at the end of that temporary job ending. And I remember sitting and thinking and praying and just having a conversation with God about it. And I really was challenged about the whole idea of who is your provider, Nick? Is this company going to be your provider? Are they going to provide the wages for you? Yes, they will. But ultimately, who is your provider? What happens at the end of your contract running out? Who is going to be your provider then? Are you going to be looking for a new provider, or will you trust that ultimately God is your provider? And I had to keep reminding myself, every time my thoughts went to what's going to happen, I had to remind myself, Jesus is my provider. Jesus is my provider. And it turned out one day my boss called me into the office and she said, someone is going to be leaving your department, and so we need to get someone in to cover their kind of the maternity cover that's going to be that you're doing at the moment. We need someone in to cover that. And so, is it okay if we just change your contract to a permanent contract? I went into work one day, not thinking anything about it, and I left the work that day with a permanent contract, because God is my provider. And we need to remember that He is our provider. He cares about what's happening in us. He cares about what's happening around us. The shepherd feeds his sheep. Let me read you a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. And this is after the children of Israel have come out of the wilderness, God speaking, and he says this. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He's watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years, the Lord God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." Interesting words. You have not lacked anything. God was reminding him that the shepherd of their souls, the shepherd of the nation, was feeding them. He was looking out for them. And it's interesting because that is the same Hebrew word that is used in Psalm 23, verse 1, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." It's the same word that's used there. Now, you may think, when we talk about lacking nothing, in your mind you may think that means lacking nothing means having the biggest house, the fullest fridge, the best car on the drive, the fullest bank account. It may mean all of those things. That's not what it's referring to at all. Because here it talks about the fact that even in the wilderness, they lacked nothing. Was it difficult in the wilderness? Yes, it was. Was it hard in the wilderness? Yes, it was. Did they lack anything? No, they didn't, because God provided for them. So let me remind you, let me encourage you that even in difficult circumstances, the shepherd feeds the sheep. Third thing is the shepherd guides the sheep. You see, sheep are quite prone to wandering off. They're quite prone to going their own way and getting lost. And that Jesus tells a parable of the lost sheep, in fact, because the people in those times would have totally related to the fact that sheep can lose themselves. I read an article this morning, actually, on the news website about a sheep in Tasmania who was lost for 7 years. The farm had an issue with the fences burnt down in the fires, and then the sheep escaped, and then they just assumed that the sheep was lost. And then 7 years later, they found the sheep again. Why? Because sheep will wander off if given the opportunity to do so. But the shepherd guides the sheep. And this guidance may take many forms. It may be that as you read God's word, something springs out to you, something ignites inside of you, and you think, wow, this is particularly for me. That is the shepherd guiding you. It may be that somebody sends you a text or gives you a phone call and encourages you and says, speaks some wisdom into your life. That is the shepherd guiding you. In the case of this sheep called Prickles, you can look it up on the internet. Sometimes the way that the shepherd guides us is by having boundaries in place. The reason the sheep got lost and wandered off is because the fence burnt down, the boundary was lost and broken, and the sheep was able to wander off. And sometimes the way that the shepherd of our souls, the way that Jesus guides us, is by ensuring that we have boundaries, that we have safe perimeters, that we understand there are things that we can go so far, and then God keeps us safe from making mistakes. He guides his sheep. There's a story you may have heard of Saint Augustine, but actually before he was Saint Augustine, he was an incredibly terrible person in terms of he lived life for himself. He was known to be a drunk. He was known to be sexually immoral. He just did whatever he wanted to do. And his mum would pray for him all the time that he would come to know Jesus. But he wanted nothing to do with church. He would, in fact, he would ridicule his mum about being someone who followed God. And then one day, the story goes, he was sat in his garden and he heard a voice saying, "Take it and read. Take it and read." And it sounded like a child just singing a song in the garden nearby. "Take it and read." But he couldn't see any children, and he just felt he needed to pick the Bible up and read it, that it was that's what the voice was telling him to do. And so he picked his Bible up and he just flicked it open, and it dropped open, and he read whatever it dropped open to. And for him, it dropped open to Romans chapter 13, verse 13 or 14. Let me read it to you. It says this: "Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Two verses. He read those two verses and realized that he needed to change his life. And that's how he came to know Jesus as Lord. That's how he became a Christ follower. And he went on to become someone who was quite significant in Christian history. How did that happen? The shepherd guides the sheep. The shepherd guides the sheep. I don't want you to miss the opportunity in these times where we're in lockdown and we have a little bit more time to maybe think and to pray and to read our Bibles. Let us expect the shepherd will guide us. The final thing, the final of the four, is the shepherd shields the sheep. So the Amplified Version says the shepherd feeds, guides, and shields the sheep. In ancient times, there would generally be an enclosure that the sheep would sleep in the evenings. And if there wasn't one, if they were out in the wilderness somewhere, in the pasture land somewhere, usually the shepherd would try to construct some sort of enclosure, maybe using some bushes on one side, some stones on the other, just to keep the sheep in enclosed in a space. And the shepherd himself would stay at the doorway to the enclosure. That's where the shepherd would sleep. Here's the interesting thing. The only way any creature or any harm or anything could get to the sheep was to go through the shepherd first. Because of where he slept, if anything wanted to get to the sheep, they had to go through the shepherd first. The shepherd shields the sheep. There is protection for you today. If anything wants to get to you, it has to go through the shepherd first. Please be encouraged. The shepherd shields the sheep. Now, we're talking a lot about shepherd and sheep this morning, and I want to close with this thought. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's basically having a go at them. He's saying, listen, because what was happening is there were some people in the church who were saying, "I follow Paul, and I listen to what Paul says." And there were other people who were saying, "I follow this guy called Apollos, and we listen to what Apollos says." And Paul was getting really annoyed with this, and he writes a letter to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "Some of you are saying I follow Paul, some of you are saying I follow Apollos. Seriously, we are just people who are building on the foundation that is already there, and this foundation is Jesus Christ." Paul was saying, it's great that you want to listen to the things that we're saying, but you cannot attribute to us more accolades and more honor, more dignity than we deserve, because actually we are following Jesus, and that's who you need to follow. There used to be a slogan that was around in the kind of 90s, I guess. People would have it on t-shirts. It said, "Who's your daddy?" You may remember that. And I'd like to flip that today and ask this question: who's your shepherd? Who's your shepherd? You see, the flip side of talking about shepherds and sheep is that as sheep, we need to choose to follow the shepherd. It's all well and good me saying the shepherd knows his sheep, the shepherd feeds his sheep, the shepherd guides his sheep, and the shepherd shields his sheep. We need to be in a position where we recognize that we are sheep and we are choosing to follow him. It may be that today you've never said that I want to begin a journey of following Jesus, or it may be that you already have said that in the past, but things have changed, or maybe in this lockdown time you're really struggling with the whole idea, or maybe you're someone who attends a church regularly, you go with your family, but actually, if you were to ask the question of yourself, who is my shepherd, that you couldn't say, Jesus is my shepherd. And I want to encourage us today to be able to answer the question, who is your shepherd? To be able to say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I don't want you to miss out on the opportunity to be known by the shepherd, to be guided by the shepherd, to be fed by the shepherd, and to be shielded by the shepherd. So I would just love for you to pray with me. Jesus, I pray that you help us to understand that you love us so much and that you care about us so much and that you are our good shepherd. I pray for those of us who maybe don't know you in that way. I pray that you will help us to come to that place where we say, Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. I want to follow you with all that I am and with all that I have. And I pray, Jesus, for those of us who have already said that we would recognize ourselves as people who follow you. We would recognize ourselves as people who would say that you are our shepherds. I pray that you will help us to have those moments where we see you guiding us, where we see you feeding us, and where we see you shielding us. Help us to have eyes that are open to your perspective, have eyes that are open to your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by checking out our website, Life Church Warrington.